you know that inside your body right now is a medicine that can effectively treat over 100 so-called untreatable diseases? Inside each one of us is the most powerful medicine ever known to man. From the time that we are born, we all have what are called adult stem cells. I prefer a more accurate term, repair stem cells, because that is what they are, that is what they do, and that is what they keep doing. Great doctors from all over the world are now using repair stem cells to save and improve lives. Heart patients who were told to go home and die are now regularly jogging uphill. The symptoms of Parkinson's patients are being reduced. Blind children are slowly gaining some sight. Autistic children are taking a step back toward normalcy. Some paralyzed patients who were told that they would never walk again are walking again. And this is merely the beginning of the greatest medical science in the history of the world. I'm Don Margolis of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, and we want you to have all of the information about this amazing field of medical self-repair. This information could just save the life of someone you love. Hi, this is Don Margolis here for the second March issue of The Truth About Stem Cells, the program that explains to you exactly why you can't get stem cells in your country. The main reason is that profits are more important to your providers. No matter who your providers are, profits are more important, and you are nothing but a lab rat who survives to buy, and then die young. We're going to go into some details today because a lot of people think, because you're talking about medicine and doctors, they think doctors are like priests, medical deities. They think medicine, MD stands for medical deities. Well, we're going to show you that you are now living in the most corrupt medical system the world has ever seen. We're not going to do that by simply saying it. We're going to give you details of how they keep you entrapped, how they keep you dying young, buying, and dying young. So let's start by saying we have five major medical hoaxes, starting only 25 years ago, a quarter of a century ago, was the first one. And the second one was in 1998, and the third one was in 2004, and the fourth one was in 2010, and the fifth one, 2011. All of them having one thing: increasing profits by giving you treatments that won't help you and are very profitable, and especially keeping away from you things that work better than the crap they're sticking in your body and are much cheaper. And there's no better example than our first example. It's called hydrazine sulfate. Hydrazine sulfate is a simple drug, very inexpensive. And back in the 70s, they were testing out different theories in Russia and also at Syracuse University. And before too long, we got into the 1980s, and the United States and the Soviet Union agreed to work with each other to see if they could make something that would cure cancer. To make a very long story very short, the answer was they succeeded. Russia succeeded with the help of the United States. America succeeded with the help of Russia. They did a very nice clinical trial in Europe. And lo and behold, the patients, about half the patients who had cancer, got put in remission using this drug called hydrazine sulfate. It wasn't long before doctors all over America and Canada started using it to
because it was incredibly cheap and it worked. And immediately the money came in and the FDA said, this is not an approved drug, okay? Never mind that drugs that were useless and doing nothing for the patient and killing them by the hundreds, they were approved, but this wasn't. And the reason was money. In the late 1980s and early 90s, when the National Cancer Institute, certainly the largest, most corrupt medical organization the world has ever seen, one that says our mission is to cure cancer, to research and find cures for cancer. Well, they've got $10 billion and their top executives are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for doing nothing except one thing. There is one true mission that you're not allowed to know. And that mission is to keep anything that works on cancer better than chemotherapy, radiation, and therapy, the barbaric treatments our cancer patients are forced to go through today. Any treatment that works is barred. Barred, B-A-R-R-E-D. Now, but in the late 1980s, it was hot, and the lead Soviet Russian regulator and researcher was invited to come give a talk on hydrogen sulfate at a medical convention in the United Snakes of America, and the snakes sure did their thing. He was scheduled to go on the last day of the meeting in the afternoon, and after lunch, everybody came back. They wanted to hear about this, and the master of ceremonies got up and said, we are finished. The meeting is over. Goodbye. And people started screaming. What about that? There will be no talk about hydrogen sulfate, he said. No reason given. There will be no talk. Well, of course, I know what happened. The big money boys at the National Cancer Institute or the American Cancer Association got together and pulled all the strings they could, possibly even the White House, and stopped it. It certainly would have been very easy to do so in the Bush White House, given the facts that we know about Bush and his son's ease in killing 400 heart patients in the year 2003, but that's another story. Okay, just in the internet, here comes a post from the National Cancer Institute. And it said that there has never been a clinical trial to prove hydrazine sulfate. The exact language was this. Hydrazine sulfate has shown no anti-cancer activity in randomized clinical trials. They did that in 04. And that came after the thing they did to chop it up forever. After 10 years of randomized clinical trials performed by Harbor UCLA Medical Center, 1981 to 1990, and many, many published peer-reviewed clinical studies based on that body of work, they come out and say, there's no clinical trial. They just said it. And nobody is allowed to come out and say it's a lie. Not one newspaper, all of them corrupt. Not one medical school, even more corrupt. Not one big shot doctor who gets his money from pharma and his institution gets money from pharma and every crooked medical school gets money from pharma and lies in order to earn it, to earn that money because they get their money from pharma for keeping pharma's profits up. and profits, last I looked, was a quarter of a billion, that's a B, dollars a day. And so they all come out and lie whenever they're told to. And every medical school in the developed world, virtually everyone, is as crooked as can be and as corrupt as can be. And that is why you are not allowed to hear much about hydrazine sulfate other than what they say it's not approved. Now, that is the National Cancer Institute, who's been around for 75 years and claims to be in the business of finding cures for cancer. They've got $10 billion in their pot, and their real mission is to keep you away from anything that works. And there's nothing like hydrazine sulfate. You can't even find out about it on Wikipedia. You can't find out the real truth about it on Wikipedia. Why? Yes, Wikipedia claims to be objective, but when you get a half a dozen big shot doctors telling these lies, Wikipedia has no choice but to print what these half dozen print doctors agree on, that hydrazine sulfate doesn't work. So they make $2 billion a month treating cancer with treatments that kill. Radiation kills, chemotherapy kills, surgery kills, and that's what you're allowed to use because it's very profitable to the big bosses and killing to you. So much for hoax number one. Hoax number two, 1998. There's a vaccine that has never been proven in any clinical trial to do what the drug companies claim it to do. It's called MMR, and mumps, measles, something or other. And it is a horrible vaccine, horrible, horrible. And yet it's the most profitable vaccine out there, possibly second to all the nonsense flu vaccines that don't do anything but cause flu. This MMR vaccine was, some data was collected over throughout the 1990s, and a British doctor by the name of Andrew Wakefield performed a clinical trial, and the clinical trial was dead perfect and said, proved without question, that autism is caused by MMR. Now, there are other causes of autism, that's true, but the most common is a drug, a vaccine that's given to patients all over the world, usually forcefully. Your kid can't come to our school unless he takes this vaccine. And that's done by having pharma bribe legislators in various states and various countries to force people to give their children this horrible, horrible drug. Now, Wakefield was incensed by this, and he proved that it causes autism. Okay. Now, you're pharma. You own everything. You own every crooked medical school, and they're all crooked. You own every crooked medical publication, and almost all of them are crooked, certainly the major ones. You own every newspaper, if not outright, because of the amount you advertise, you can threaten them to say, hey, you don't print these articles, which we tell you not to print, and we continue to advertise and give you hundreds of millions of dollars in ads each year. Why? Because their marketing budget for all pharma put together is some enormous money, bigger than any other company company in the world. Okay, so here comes Wakefield, and what are you? You're pharma, you own and operate everything. So how do you handle this Wakefield thing? Well, what you do is you then slowly start to gather scientist who will take money and say anything. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about over 80% of the medical scientists in the developed world, and I know that's an understatement. They are all corrupt. They are all crooked. Now, yes, there's some guys that research on adult stem cells. They don't happen to be crooked. And there's some that don't know any better. They're probably not crooked. But when pharma wants to lie and to make more money or protect what they, in this case, protect the enormous profits from MMR vaccine, which they convinced every doctor and all the regulators that, are bribed, especially in the United States, they have to protect this. And so they came out and started tearing up piece by piece with doctors everywhere, bribed and paid. They didn't care how much they spent, and I know they spent over $100 million going around to medical schools, to medical researchers, to do research on the Wakefield paper. And everybody knew nobody was going to pay them to say something that was true about Wakefield's paper. So today, in the year 2014, all you can find anywhere, Wikipedia, internet, medical journals, medical schools, doctors, nobody is going to ever say that that Andrew Wakefield was right, okay? I'm saying it because I know it's true. And I'm not scared, and I know how crooked medicine is. MMR vaccine causes autism, period. Now, you say, well, how can you prove that, Don? I'm going to prove it to you in a negative sense. I'm going to tell you three facts that you are not allowed to know. Fact number one, that 5 years after Wakefield in 1998 comes out in 2002 and 2003, another British clinical trial, which Wakefield was not involved, and they proved that he was right. You will never, never, never find that clinical trial anywhere. They even keep it out of the internet at most of the large places. But there was a clinical trial in the United Kingdom which proved that Wakefield was right. Thing you're never allowed to hear in the United Snakes of America, number two. In the year 2012, maybe it was 2011, there was a trial in the United Kingdom where pharma and its billion-dollar law firm, which could be created overnight with billions of dollars worth of the biggest lawyers in the world, took the side of a plaintiff against a defendant named Andrew Wakefield. And Wakefield, with his $1.98 law firm versus the billionaires and their lawyers in this British court, simply said the truth. And the judge, shocking to me, the judge agreed with them, and Andrew Wakefield, despite being dragged into court, something you are not allowed to hear, suckers, the judge ruled that he was not guilty of deception, not guilty of fraud, as all the crooked doctors making money by saying so, and killing you and your children by saying so, that's what you are up against. That is fraud number two. And that's hoax number two. And oh, by the way, I promised you three. For at least five years, the previous 5 years, a certain university in the state of North Carolina was doing the same thing, only in much more modern ways and much more accurate ways. In the year 2011, they announced that so far the data seemed to mean, without using Wakefield's name, that Wakefield was right. Autism was a product of MMR. And then came 2012, and more information came out. Then came 2013, and suddenly, Wake Forest did not announce the final results of their clinical trial. Just didn't, it disappeared. And you put down Wake Forest MMR, and you're not going to find anything definite. Why? Well, I know why. I wasn't at the secret meeting that happened in the, somebody's cellar in North Carolina and, last year, but they got money. And they said, just don't release the results. So they still got the results. And whether this is for a short time, a long time, or whatever, Wake Forest has caved in and not continued all the publicity they were given this fantastic clinical trial. It disappeared. And so that's number two. You're never allowed to hear about the British second trial and about the Wake Forest trial, and especially about the trial, the legal trial in the United Kingdom. Now, of course, the United Kingdom newspapers had that, but it's amazing how they kept that out of America. It's amazing the power that pharma has. So that's number two hoax. That was 1998 it started. Now we come to 2004. 2004 was the year, 2003 is what caused it. The American Heart Association took the results of an adult stem cell clinical trial that had amazing results on heart patients and published it, thus giving it authenticity. And that was in April of 2003. And within 2 months, pharma and its cohorts were planning on how to keep adult stem cells away from you, because it would reduce their profits substantially, since most adult stem cell patients don't need the drugs they've ever used. And that's most of them. Two out of three get better no matter what the disease. Two out of three get better and need substantially reduced drugs. And so how do you fix that, pharma? Well, damn easy if you own everything. So the first thing, as the effective January 1st, 2004, these rules came out and nobody ever disputed them or broke these laws that are not on the books. Number one, thou shalt not print anything positive about adult stem cells in your crooked medical journal. Now you say, well, why is that crooked? Maybe it just wasn't proven. And the answer is, in the year 2002 and 2003, the three top medical journals printed an average of one positive stem cell article a month. That's January of 2002 through December of 2003. 24 months, 25 articles, all positive, all about adult stem cells. Here comes January 1st, 2004, and suddenly, these corrupt, bribed medical journals, Nature, Science, New England Journal, Cell, all stopped printing positive articles, all but stopped. Now remember, they were averaging one a month. One a month. In the next 9 years, these corrupt journals printed an average of one positive stem cell article every 2 years. Meanwhile, they printed unlimited positive articles upon stem cells that would never work, would never hurt farmers' profits, embryonic stem cells. And they got the Democrat Party and gave the Democrat Party tens of millions of dollars to come out so that all the ignorant liberals would say, we're in favor of embryonic stem cells, not realizing that they can never, 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 never be put into a human being as adult stem cells are. How about the medical schools? Same thing. All the schools came out pro embryonic stem cells. The things they did to convince you suckers that embryonic stem cells were the future. They got the president of the United States to perform in this hoax. He took office in January of 2009, and in March of that month, he told the world, we're behind embryonic stem cells, that bastard George W. Bush or George Bush, whatever his name was, he forbid to kiss ass on his right-wing establishment, his churchgoers. So that was his story, and both politics, but neither party came out for adult stem cells because they were paid not to. But the Democrats got paid extra for coming out with embryonic stem cells were the future. Right, Mr. President, you stupid bastard, killing people with that comment? How many people have died since you said that embryonics are going to come pouring out of the pipeline? That's what the word was in California, in Massachusetts. As soon as Bush is out of the White House, the cures are coming out of the pipeline. A blatant lie, if there ever was one, coming to you from doctors that you stupidly respect. They care nothing about you. They just wanted to make money from pharma. Medical schools wanted to make money from pharma. Big shot doctors make money from pharma. Newspapers make advertising money from pharma. The medical journals can't exist without pharma's money. And yet you believe these lying bastards who care only that you buy their pills and die a young death. What you don't know is that any chronic disease, and there were hundreds of them, take somewhere between 10 and 15 years off the expected life expectancy of every patient. No doctor, they're all crooked, would ever say to you, hey, you got multiple sclerosis. Your life expectancy just went from 85 to 72. They'd never tell you that because they're not allowed to, and nobody's allowed to say it so that the doctors can't read it in a medical journal. Okay? So that's it. Keep buying their pills and keep pretending that embryonics is going to work. Now, when embryonics said they were going to do a clinical trial, and there's some crooked companies that were claiming clinical trials, and they kept putting them off. Finally, they got one started. And just so you understand how crooked they are, okay, how corrupt they are, I'm going to give you some numbers that you're not going to believe. They came out with this crooked clinical trial. The company's name was Geron, G-E-R-O-N, a California company that had already collected $1 billion from suckers who bought their shares because they were the number one embryonic company in the world. And their stock had been in the 70s in the year 2000. And in the year 2008, when there was an election, late in the year, about October, a month before the election, they realized that Obama was going to win the election and say yes to adults who have embryonic stem cells. And lo and behold, all the Wall Street charlatans started pumping up the stock of this Geron company that had gone from $70 to $2 and pumped the thing up to over $9. So up 4.5 times. And all during this, the Wall Streeters and Geron were screwing shareholders left and right. Time after time, shareholders were getting screwed with this stock. However, finally, they got the clinical trial and the stocks went up. Oh, see, we told you embryonics worked. They're starting a clinical trial. And look at this, 18 medical schools are sharing in this trial. So that's 18 medical schools. And, well, wait a second, they're only going to treat 10 people in this trial. What do they need 18 people? Well, nobody asked that question except me, but nobody answered it. 18 medical schools were said they were participating in the trial. So they needed 10 patients. 6 months went by. How many patients did these 18 medical schools raise? 1,000. After all, there was 500,000 spinal cord patients, and that's what they were treating, spinal cord injury. 500,000 of them in the country, and they're all praying for this well-publicized cure for their spinal cord injury. That's how they play on you. The spinal cord injury clinical trial. And then the first couple of patients who got treated, they were talking about how happy they were, and they knew that they were going to be leading the way to get a treatment for spinal cord injury. All these patients that are stuck, quadriplegics and paraplegics and partially plegics, and people that the best they can do is walk with a walker. And here comes Geron, and they're going to save everybody. And 18 clinical trial partners, 18 crooked medical schools, all pitching in there, giving it credibility. And Don Margolis, and you can look this up, Don Margolis published two consecutive newsletters saying the following: this trial can't possibly succeed. It must stop. Even if the big shots who are pulling this hoax see that something bad is happening. Well, obviously, they thought they could get away with these 10 patients if they selected them very carefully. And these 10 patients, they know they wouldn't get cancer. Okay? And that's all they cared about, because they know that's the one thing, is cancer or rejection by the patient's body of a strange DNA. There's two things that can happen. So what happens 6 months later? 6 months, 18 medical schools, they got eight patients. Eight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in 6 months. And that's all they could get that they weren't scared of. And they had to tell the people quietly, there's a risk here. There's a big risk. You could get cancer and die. They had to tell them, okay? But they also could tell them you had to keep it a secret. And they did. 6 months goes by, and suddenly, here comes an announcement. We've run out of money. We don't want to be in the embryonic business anymore. After screwing $1 billion worth of shares, $1 billion down the toilet, we don't want to be in the embryonic stem cell business anymore. First of all, the whole thing was a lie. They had all the money. The FDA could get them all the federal money they want. And the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine is built upon embryonic stem cells and the lies and the hoax. Arnold Schwarzenegger was part of the hoax when a Democrat of all things legislator who's supposed to be for embryonic stem cells says, hey, Mr. President, here's a bill, what we passed, saying we want adult stem cells research, not just embryonics, which don't work. And Schwarzenegger comes out with a humongous lie, which is what politicians do. He says the voters voted for embryonic stem cells. Bullshit! They voted for stem cells. Proposition 70 or 71 said stem cells, never mention the word embryonic. But the governator tells that lie, and not one crooked newspaper in the state of California came out and say, hey, Mr. Governor, that's untrue. And that is how you keep the embryonic hoax going. Hoax number three started in 2004, and it's weakening now because the scientific evidence, even the fools who wrote thousands of papers at pharma's behest, and many of them got published, the fools that wrote these papers are starting to realize that they were dealing with crap. Crap, and I've been telling them that since 08, in writing. Okay, that's three. Here comes number four. Number four is something that is going to try to murder, keep up the murder of 1 million heart patients around the world per year. But let's talk about the 250,000 that they're going to kill in North America and another 250,000 in Europe by keeping adult stem cells away from them. Now, how are they going to do this when a German cardiological Medical Society, published a paper from one of Germany's leading researchers. And that researcher, this was done in, his work was done from 2003 to 2008, and then he put together, spent 2009, he started putting together the data, and he resigned from his university and finished the publication. And I always thought that was a little funny why he resigned. And later it struck me. He resigned because the university is a medical school and medical schools are paid not to tell the truth about adult stem cells. I don't know that's the case. All I know is he did retire from the university, named some German city or other, and he published his paper. And in the spring of 2010, this European Cardiological Society published a paper. And the results of the paper were spectacular. Spectacular. Okay? Point number one. He gave the patients the right to select which they wanted. They want to be treated by standard cardiology or they want to be treated by standard cardiology and stem cells. And he said the patients can make the choice. Whatever they want to do, we'll do. That way we'll get the most patients. And as soon as one side has 200, we'll quit and the other side will do what it has and the rest. So they got 200 people that wanted cardiology only and 191 that wanted the stem cells plus cardiology. And so they started a 5-year study. And it turned out that the ones that wanted stem cells had a worse baseline than the ones that just wanted cardiology. It wasn't that much different, but in the numbers we're talking about, it was significant. The number is based upon a New York, by a certain heart association, whether it's New York or Canada or European, it doesn't matter. There's a number that where if you're number one, it means you've got heart disease, but you're not suffering. And number two, you've got heart disease, but it's obvious you've got something, some symptoms. And number three is much worse. And number four is worse than that. Well, anyway, the higher the number, the worse it is. So the stem cell patients started out around 3.05 and cardiology patients started out at 295. So they started out slightly healthier than the stem cell, those that chose stem cells. But what happened was for the next 5 years, the people who had standard cardiology only lost about a tenth of a rating per year. So they went from 295 to 305, 315, 20, 30, 40, and close to 350, so which is as bad as you can get, okay? Because 4 means your only hope is a transplant. And most of these people are too old to get a transplant, or they smoke, or this, that, or the other thing, okay? And wouldn't be eligible. But that's all they got left, and then all they got left is dying. But they didn't choose the stem cells. Now you've got the 191 people that took the stem cells. And the 191 people that took the stem cells, wow, what happened? Well, those 191 people dropped from 305 to 230. Wow, they dropped. They got better and better and better every year. And the other guys got worse and worse and worse. That's enough. That's enough. But what's the next thing is absolutely, absolutely, completely different. Listen to this. The stem cell patients died at the rate of 7.5 per thousand every year. 7.5 per thousand. These are people with serious heart conditions, but they got the stem cells. And they died at the rate of 7.5 per thousand. The cardiologically only cardiologically only, went to 36 and a half per thousand deaths per year. And that is what Bodo Strouwer predicted. And that is what's happening in the real world. However, you're pharma, and you know what you can do, and you know what you can't do. And what they can do is create all over Europe and all over North America and all over the medical journals and all over the big pharma-controlled websites and all over over the websites of each of the medical schools, you're going to see proof that these scientists say that Strouwer made this error and Strouwer made that error. They don't add up to a hill of beans. Let's say he made 10 arithmetical errors. If it goes to court, he's going to be innocent. But it ain't going to go to court. It's going to go to the court that's run by pharma, which is all their crooked, corrupt doctors coming out and saying that Bodo Strouwer is published false information. Well, baloney, because I've got the same facts that he has. Dr. Vigna has the same facts that he has. Every high-level stem cell doctor who is smart enough to keep statistics knows that after stem cells, you are dying at one-fifth of the rate as normal cardiology patients your age. But you'll never see it in Wikipedia. You'll never see it on a major drug company website, and they're all major drug companies, university medical schools. And so there you are, the next hoax, hoax number four, embryonic stem cells. Bodo Strouwer, hoax number four is Bodo Strouwer, just like Andrew Wakefield, is lying. Now, here's all you have to do. Don't take my word for it. Just go to clinicaltrials.gov and then go to put in adult stem cells and heart, and you will see all kinds of trials. Some of them never happen. Some of them are incomplete. But the vast majority are either complete or they're almost complete, and the school that's running them is bragging about how well their patients are doing. They're putting names of patients out, and the patients are getting interviewed. All over the internet, you're seeing people. There was one just this week from the United Kingdom, the first ever treated with adult stem cells for heart disease. Yes, right. He's only 10 years too late, but seems like a nice guy, and he's okay. So that's in Britain, okay? Now, these are going on all over the world, all the time, and they're all successful. But nobody's going to have the hit that, so none of these things are going to get published. All these successful clinical trials are going to disappear. They'll never see them. You'll never see them on the internet. Unless you go to the medical school that held them. You'll never see them in your newspaper. You'll never see them in a medical journal. They're all crooked, and they all take money from pharma, okay? But you will hear, just like the New York Times makes a joke out of Andrew Wakefield, the New York Times makes a joke out of him, and that's exactly what pharma pays the New York Times to do. So ultimately you're going to see that Bodo Strouwer is an Andrew Wakefield type joke, and you're not going to see the other 100, 200 successful clinical trials, but you're going to hear all about it all over Wikipedia, all over the internet, all over the crooked websites, all over the crooked university websites, and you're going to see within the next couple of years how he has lied like Andrew Wakefield lied, which is not at all. But they, when you get enough crooks, and they're all crooks, as I told you, every medical researcher is a crook unless he's researching adult stem cells. Everyone is a crook. So that's who you're going to see, guys who will take anything, and they can write articles now and get published, and they take money, and their institution gets money, and that's just so you can't get adult stem cells for your heart in your country, which takes orders from pharma. You don't believe me? Ask Obama, who gives him his orders. Okay. That's four, and let's talk about number five, which is just getting underway in 2013. And this one is real simple to explain, and how crooked it is, and how desperate pharma is now that the embryonic hoax is slipping down a toilet. The only ones to believe it are people who think Michael J. Fox is honest with his Parkinson's, and he quietly gave up embryonics 2 years ago but didn't tell anybody. It appeared on one website, and pharma kept that news from everybody. I mean, I only found it by accident. So you'll never see mention, but Michael J. Fox mentioned as anything but a big embryonic guy. And he gets Parkinson's patients to contribute to his foundation. How much he puts in his pocket, we'll never know. But he makes millions, and you lose money and will not be able to get Parkinson's stem cells for yourself because you believed Michael J. Fox. Even after Dr. Oz, right in front of Oprah and 7 million people, told him right to his face that embryonic stem cells will never work. And he didn't say a word. And the next day he went out and he was standing before a large crowd of Jews in San Diego and cheering for, they contributed big money to his foundation. And he was cheering for embryonic stem cells. This is back in 2009, 2010. And this Jewish crowd stood up and cheered. And you know, I used to brag that we Jews were a lot more smart than that. But having elected a Jew-hating Muslim to the presidency twice, and having fallen for the crap about adult stem cells and embryonic stem cells, well, I can't say anything more that the Jews are any smarter than anybody else. So now, here comes the new hoax. I told you about this clinical trial that collapsed, and I told you about some doctors have just given up on it. Well, in 2007, the only one of two honest embryonic stem cell scientists, James Thompson from Madison, Wisconsin, and another chap named Yamamoto from Japan, decided they were going to get together, to work together, even though they might be countries apart, on something called induced pluripotent stem cells. And it was a very simple concept. And of course, in 2007, I fell for it myself. What they were going to do was take the patient's adult skin, and they were going to send that back in time through certain operations to embryonic state. So if the guy was 50 years, they would have to send it back 51 years to when it was an embryo. And then that embryonic stem cell, in theory, would become an induced pluripotent stem cell, which means it's going to be pluripotent. Embryonics, they claim, can do anything. So that lie gets spread all the time. So here they are. They're going to get induced pluripotent stem cells. Wow! Isn't that terrific? So 2008 goes by, nothing happens. 2009 goes by, 2010 goes by, and I read an article in an Israeli medical magazine, and it was written by honest scientists, and obviously they didn't get any money from pharma for this, for saying this, but they said what they're not allowed to say. And they said that we can't find any way that these induced pluripotent stem cells aren't going to cause cancer, which embryonic stem cells do, that they're not going to be rejected by, not rejected, but they're going to become not exactly right, because you got to go through billions of processes to get it back that 50 years and bring it back to the patient. And it doesn't always work exactly right. If you get one out of a million that goes wrong, the thing's going to be not a human being, but a monster by the time it gets back to embryonics. And that's what they found. So, but then something strange happened in 2012. And this was the kickoff of hoax number five. Okay, remember, I said Jamie Thompson is disgustingly honest. I've been following this man since he was the guy in 1998 that started all this embryonic fuss. But he's been all over the world watching doctors try to make sense out of embryonic stem cells, and nobody has ever done it. So he and Yamamoto talked, and they came up with this wonderful idea to make an induced pluripotent stem cell, which would do what an embryonic stem cell did. It was terrific, except one thing. Embryonic stem cells cause cancer. Embryonic stem cells are rejected by the body. Well, these wouldn't be rejected, presumably because they're going to have the same DNA as the patient. But there were three good reasons. Number one, they become monsters. Number two, they cause cancer. And number three, they're incredibly expensive to produce versus adult stem cells, which don't cost anything if you don't upgrade them. They cost peanuts to produce. So what's pharma going to do? How is pharma going to get this nonsense in front of the public and have all the doctors say, hey, this Nobel Prize winner? Well, they went to Yamamoto and told him, how would you like to work for us and get the Nobel Prize along with Jamie Thompson for, I think it's $900,000 for whatever, let's leave the dollars out of this, and have you share with Jamie whatever the prize is, and let's assume he said yes. Now, here's two things that happened. Number one, they fixed the Nobel Committee to give one prize, half the medical prize that year in 2012, to some guy who actually discovered the embryonic stem cell 30 years before, 25 years before Jamie Thompson even decided you could do something with it. He never moved the project. He just said, here they are, they exist, okay? They gave him a Nobel Prize for something that has never, ever been tried to help a human being. And he got half the Nobel Prize, okay? Not only that, but it will never help any patient who's alive today without changing it from an embryonic stem cell to something else. They may falsely name it embryonic stem cells. They may figure out a way to stop the cancer, but it won't be an embryonic stem cell. Okay, that's one half of the corrupt Nobel Prize. Here comes the second half. As I told you, Jamie was disgustingly honest, and he refused to go. I don't know this for a fact. I don't know this for a fact, but that's my guess. Why wasn't he there? Because all the early publicity from 2007 to 2010 was about the two of them doing what they were doing. Then Yamamoto pulled a quickie on Jamie, and they had to prove one point, not that they were, but there was a scientific fact that had to be proved. And Jamie was trying to prove it on human beings. And a human being has to grow some before this happens. And Yamamoto came up with this great idea, let's try it with rats, I'll get in front of Jamie Thompson. And so he did. And so then he started getting credit for this, which had never worked. Has never worked, has never worked, has never worked, causes cancer, creates monsters, is incredibly expensive. And he won the Nobel Prize for induced pluripotent stem cells, something that has never worked. Something never will work without drastic money and is incredibly expensive and will never be used to treat patients for any major disease. I'll put that any major disease. Oh, they might figure out a way to cure a hangnail with it or cure an unknown eye disease called Stargardt's. They had one not quite complete clinical trial, and they claim it was a huge success. But guess what? It's not having a phase two trial, and you need a phase four trial. But they got the trial finished without killing anybody. So, hey, it works. But it ain't going to work because nobody is trying to get it approved. Nobody, especially the FDA. Okay? So, yes, Stargardt's proved one thing, not that it works, but it's safe. That was the purpose of the first Stargardt's clinical trial. It was presumably complete, and there ain't no phase two. Okay? So that's the second hoax. Induced pluripotent stem cells. They had to come up with something at the end of 2012. They bought outright the Nobel Committee. I don't know how much it cost them, but they got a world of publicity because they could, for giving prizes to two know-nothing false scientists. Well, let's call the first guy know-nothing. He knows nothing about how to make embryonic stem cells help human beings, and he hasn't tried. And, you know, can't criticize him for that. He found it, and he didn't see anything to do with it, and he turned out to be right. No criticism there. But he gets a prize for finding something that is useless. Uh-huh. When pharma says we're paying, he gets a prize. And to tell you what a crook this guy is, what happened right after the Nobel announcement, the same day in the West, patients, due to this Nobel publicity, they didn't know the difference in most cases between embryonic and adult stem cells. They started pouring in applications to the only clinics that were actually treating people, adult stem cell clinics, and pharma panicked. And here's Yamanaka, the day after, ready to go home, or already is home for all I know, and he's called in to give a press conference. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a press conference. And he came out and said, oh, all these guys are scam artists. There's no cures due for adult stem cells. Ignore the 2,000 successful clinical trials. They don't mean anything. What I'm saying means something. I'm a Nobel Prize winner, even though I'm a crooked, damn Nobel Prize winner. And I say they're all crooks out there if they're adult stem cell scientists. And that is how you get to die young and keep buying, buying, buying. That's the end of hour one, ladies and gentlemen. Five hoaxes that nobody else in the world is allowed to tell you. Hydrogen sulfide, MMR vaccine, embryonic stem cells, Bodo Strouwer, and induced pluripotent stem cells. Thanks for listening. We'll be back for the second hour, which is going to be very special. And we'll tell you about that after the station break. Mr. Engineer, bring in the station break. Mr. Engineer.
If you or a loved one suffers from a chronic disease, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to suffer, as the medical establishment may suggest. You definitely can have a better quality of life and prolong your years without chemicals, scalpels, radiation, anesthesia, and pills, and more pills. I'm Don Margolis, and I started the Repair Stem Cell Institute to make sure you have all the information you need about how this amazing therapy can help you. Visit our website, repairstemcells.org. and learn how stem cells can help improve your life. If you feel they are the best treatment path for you, simply fill out our no-obligation treatment request form and let us personally guide you through the process of finding the best stem cell doctors and centers in the world. At the Repair Stem Cell Institute, we are proud to say that we have already improved the lives of hundreds of patients. Contact us now and take an important first step toward improving your own life or the life of a loved one.
This is the beginning of the second hour. I hope you enjoyed the first hour and learning how you've been cheated out of the top medical treatments that are available in the world today, and how much money you're paying for that privilege. This second half hour, I want to give you some information. You'll find the Repair Stem Cell in the Repair Stem Cell Institute, and the website is repairstemcells.org. That's the website for the institute. The blog is entitled donmargolis.com. That's a blog. It's adult stem cell research. And there is now Facebook and Twitter, Repair Stem Cells Institute. That's the Facebook. Repair Stem Cells Institute. Now, if you have any questions on any stem cell product, any stem cell subject whatsoever, just send an email with your question to info@repairstemcells.org. All questions will be answered usually in 24 hours. Okay, if you have a disease you'd like to know more about, just let us know. info@repairstemcells.org. Okay, that is that. Now let's talk about this this half hour. We're going to have four interviews, okay? And all four of them are doctors. Yes? And the first one is going to be a doctor who took the stem cell treatment. He was in a spinal cord accident, and he was partially paralyzed, and he got the stem cell treatment. He wants to talk about it. Okay, he's the first one. There will be three more totally introduced in the segment, and two more doctors and a long-time heart patient who was cured, not cured, but was treated over 8 years ago and is doing great today. Okay, Mr. Engineer, the first one is Eric Betag. Please bring him in, Mr. Engineer, right now. We have with us today Mr. Eric Betag, a spinal cord patient who was treated in March of this year, and so now it's 7 months later, and he's agreed to answer a couple questions. Eric,
yeah.
What can you tell us? You remember what your condition was like before you got the stem cells, and as I recall, you started feeling more energy and getting a little bit feeling early on. But let's talk about the difference between before you got the stem cells and then what it was like 3 months later that you can point out to our listeners.
Before I got the stem cells, I was able to move and I was able to walk with a walker, and I had a lot of spasms in my legs. I was very hyperspastic, and I would get cramps, and my whole body would convulse, and so on and so forth. After I got the stem cells, I was able to walk longer distances. I am now currently walking 2 to 3 miles a day. I'm able to do that with ease and not be so tired at the end of the day. Just right now, just prior to this, I've gone over and I walked 8/10 of a mile without sitting. That was unheard of before, and it's relatively easy to do now. The spasms have gotten so much better that I don't have quite as many spasms. I'm able to sleep better at night, and overall, I have a lot more energy.
Okay, that's pretty clear.
And it's made a big difference in my life. I'm able to go to more activities and sit and I go to my son's football games and my daughter's cross-country events, and it's been quite a blessing. It's really opened up my life.
Now, this is a slightly different question. Do you feel, I know that your physical activity improves your condition. That's, everybody knows that. The world's greatest spinal cord doctor, a stem cell doctor, used to say, if you're not going to go through physical activity for 2-3 years, five times a week. He says, don't bother wasting my time and the stem cells. So you're actually a believer in that. But I have a different question. Do you feel as if today, month to month, you're getting better month to month because of your working out?
Yes, I do. I said, you know what? My parents had always told me at a young age, you know, God only helps those who help themselves. And from day one, they were big into pushing me to go over and do the local mat. Even though I had no movement at the time of the injury for the first 2 months below my chest level, you know, they got me on the local mat, which was a device that helped me get up and walk. And from that point on, you know what, things continued to improve and improve and improve. I'd say after the first 2 years, I was pretty stagnant. And at that point in time, I did the first my first set of stem cells. And I, you know, right away you knew that there was a boost. I went from being able to lift 85 pounds and my shoulders hurting and everything bothering me, where it would bother me for 2 or 3 days afterwards, to now today I can lift 180 pounds 20 times and my shoulders don't bother me at all.
Holy mackerel. Okay.
Yeah, it's been life-changing.
That brings us to the last question. Most people, and when I say most, I mean 99% of patients, no matter what the disease, and there's a lot of chronic diseases around, most patients they know they're not getting any better, and in most chronic diseases, they know they're getting worse, and yet they're afraid to move away from what's making them worse. And all the pills they're taking, which do make people worse, and try stem cells. And yet, I've noticed, particularly in several patients, their ability to say to themselves, stop, let's do something different. Can you explain how you came to that decision?
Okay. Basically, at a certain point in time, you know, you're working out, you know, 3 days a week, you're walking, and you're doing everything, and nothing is changing. Zero, zilch. You know you're not progressing. You're just staying at the same point. And, you know, I have always believed that hard work pays off. And for the first time in my life, I've ran a marathon, I've gone over, and at the time I was able to bench press 350 pounds, I was able to do a lot of things, and all of a sudden you can't break those physical barriers. And at that point in time, actually a patient of mine had gone over and given me a local newspaper about Billy Orr and how he was improving. And at that point in time, he had stem cells. And I said, you know what, if this guy can improve, and he's a local guy, I don't see why I can't improve doing this. So at that point in time, I said, you know what, I have nothing to lose. I am not making any further physical gains. I have five children and a wife, and I don't want to be this way the rest of my life. So at that point in time, we decided that we needed to go down and do something to go over and improve not just my life, but my family's life. And I didn't want to be basically the father who's stuck to a wheelchair the rest of my life. And right now, the only time I ever use my wheelchair is when I go and see my patients in my office. I'm a doctor. And I only do that because it takes me too long to walk from room to room. But besides that, everywhere else we go, we just kind of go over and use the walker. And it's kind of nice because I don't have to go over and be tied to a big device where it's going to be very cumbersome.
Okay. Thank you for that. We know that you are going to continue getting better. We know that. And
yeah.
Because the world's greatest spinal cord stem cell doctor, the late Carlos Lima of Portugal, said it over and over again. Stem cells shouldn't be called adult stem cells. They should be called repair stem cells, because that's what they do. And they set up a base and just grow and grow and grow. Some people get better than others. We don't know why, but they do. But we know one thing. Those that don't eat poisonous foods, and most of us do, and those of us that work out and exercise to improve themselves, they have the greater chance. Thank you for your time, Dr. Ehrich, and we'll be back to you in a few months. And anything last minute?
I would just like to thank you, Don, for your help, and we appreciate everything you've done for me and my family, and hopefully we can keep moving forward, and we'll see a lot of progress in this sector of medicine, and I hope it becomes more prevalent here in the United States so that we do not have to travel outside the country to do this.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Eric.
Bye-bye.
That was Ehrich Betog, doctor first, patient second. Okay, now we're going to bring in one of our favorite doctors, Dr. James Brawley, who is an expert on many subjects, and he is going to talk about turmeric and stem cells. Dr. Brawley, let's bring him on, Mr. Engineer.
I wish to spend a few minutes today talking about a favorite medicinal spice of mine called turmeric. It's a spice I recommend frequently to patients who've been treated with stem cells at our center and elsewhere. And I think in a few minutes you'll see why I think this is such an important and exciting supplement. First of all, what is turmeric? Most of you have been exposed to it when you eat curry dishes made famous from India and Thailand and elsewhere. It's this bright yellow gold spice that gives curry its special flavor. More interestingly to me is its use for over 2,500 years as part of Ayurvedic medicine originating from India. In today's terms, it's now thought of as a powerful antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer spice. Interestingly enough, the first century AD, Pliny the Elder, a very famous statesman and spokesman and philosopher and politician of the Roman Empire, was complaining about the trade deficit that the Romans were having with India. And their trade deficit was because so many gold coins and silver coins were going to India in exchange for medicinal spices and herbs. And one of the most popular was turmeric, the topic of discussion this morning. My first introduction to turmeric was about 15, 20 years ago. I was on a lecture tour, and I was in an Indian restaurant off the campus of Princeton. And we were talking about spices and herbs from India at that time with the owner and manager of the restaurant, and she shared with me the following story, one I'd never heard before, is that in certain areas of India, when the bride-to-be and the groom-to-be are about ready to be married, they cover their entire body with turmeric so that they have this yellow gold glow about them for a week or more before the wedding. Why did they do that, and why do they still do that, apparently, is because when they take the turmeric off, their skin is clear, their skin is glowing, there's no blemishes, no pimples, apparently. I said, that's quite interesting, and I did a little bit more research at the time, and I found that the incidence of certain diseases that today we're treating with stem cells, such as Alzheimer's disease, and also in other areas like colon cancers and gastrointestinal cancers, are significantly lower. And the researchers were saying, well, one of the reasons may be because of this powerful medicinal spice called turmeric. Well, then if you start looking at the scientific literature dealing with conditions that are often treated in stem cell centers, you find that turmeric plays a real important role. For example, arthritis. There are many studies now in human and animal studies that show that turmeric and its active ingredient called curcumin are very effective in reducing pain and stiffness and limitation of motion and destruction of cartilage and other soft tissue of joints. In fact, the use of turmeric, especially in combination with another very famous Indian herb called Boswellia sederata, which is in the Bible called Indian frankincense, works better, longer, without even close to the number of side effects as the more popular prescription and over-the-counter anti-inflammatories like Aleve, Celebrex, and so forth. So it plays a real important role in arthritis. Also in people who have chronic inflammatory airway diseases like asthma, bronchitis, patients I've been treating recently with pulmonary fibrosis, daily doses of turmeric or its active ingredient curcumin profoundly reduces the amount of inflammation, coughing, irritation, mucus formation in these patients if they take it on a daily basis. So it has a role in airway diseases. Over the last several months, I've been providing post-stem cell nutrition recommendations for heart failure patients that have been treated down in Argentina at the recommendation of Don Margolis. And one of the important supplements that I've included in these recommendations is turmeric. Why do I do that? Because studies have shown, at least in animal studies, that turmeric has the ability not only to prevent heart failure, but to reverse it, to actually reduce the size and the work load of patients who have a history of heart failure. There's evidence that in certain types of strokes that turmeric may play a real important role, number one, in preventing them. One of the problems with strokes is if you had one, you're likely going to have others unless you change your lifestyle and diet. And also, if you have a stroke, to reduce the size of the brain that's damaged by the stroke. So turmeric is now showing a role in the prevention and treatment of certain types of strokes. Going back to Alzheimer's, what fascinates me there is that if you dig deep in the scientific literature, how turmeric apparently works, it actually dissolves, reverses the formation of structures called amyloid plaques that form in the brain of Alzheimer's patients and are part of the disease. If you can prevent that from occurring, or once they occur, dissolve them, you may be in the road towards healing a patient with Alzheimer's. Turmeric has been shown in animal studies to actually prevent the formation of amyloid plaques and to dissolve and reverse those amyloid plaques when they're supplemented with turmeric. Parkinson's disease is another one. They don't have amyloid plaques, but they have abnormal clumping of certain proteins in the brain. Turmeric has been shown, and by the way, it was just thought to be part of the disease process. Turmeric in therapeutic doses has been shown to prevent and reverse and unfold and disperse these abnormal proteins. Some researchers are saying that that may, in fact, be part of the treatment process. The next topic I could spend hours on, and that's the role that turmeric plays in cancer. Now, at Stem Cell Center in North America, we don't treat cancer, but there are other places in the world that do treat cancer. Better Being Hospital in Bangkok, Thailand comes to mind. And what the scientific literature says is the following. Curcumin, the active ingredient in turmeric, has been reported beneficial in the following cancers: leukemia, lymphoma, colon cancer, bladder cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, head and neck squamous cell carcinoma, lung cancer, melanoma of the skin, neurological cancers, and so forth. It's been shown to cut the size of polyps. Polyps are precancerous growths, usually in the large intestine, are often surgically removed. You can prevent those polyps from forming and reduce the size once they've already formed with daily use of turmeric. I recommend that people get used to sprinkling their meats and poultries and soups with turmeric right out of the can, right out of the bottle that you buy at a supermarket, as a way of preventing cancer of the colon from polyps. Another fascinating thing, if you include turmeric or curcumin with chemicals commonly used in chemotherapy to treat cancer patients, the chemicals work better with less toxicity. What I would like to see is studies forget the chemicals and in chemotherapy and treat patients with therapeutic doses of turmeric and curcumin. I suggest that the outcome would be even better. But if you use it in combination with commonly accepted chemotherapy agents, the agents work better with less toxicity. Also, a study came out that turmeric taken orally and applied topically to the skin kills and stops the growth of melanoma skin cancers, at least in laboratory tests. And finally, turmeric, or its active ingredients, curcumin, has been shown to have the ability to create new nerves and brain neurons in a process called neurogenesis, and particularly in the area of the brain commonly affected called the hippocampus. That's part of the brain that's involved in memory, as in Alzheimer's. Also knowledge, also emotions, that may play a real important role in depression. Curcumin has been shown to have the ability to create a significant number of new brain cells in the hippocampus. Absolutely exciting discovery. And that may be the main reason why it's so beneficial, or appears to be so beneficial, in brain lesions or diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. Okay, so what does this have to do with stem cells? Well, basically stem cells that you administer to a patient in a stem cell center. It can be administered by the bloodstream, by the spinal fluid, directly injected into joints that are inflamed. Those stem cells have to go to the area that needs to be regenerated and repaired, but then they need to differentiate or transform. This means the stem cells have to become the cells you need to be repaired, whether they be brain cells, heart cells, nerve cells, kidney cells, insulin-producing pancreatic cells. They need to transform into those cells. Step one. Step two, they need to multiply in numbers. You need many more stem cells and arrive at that site for repair. Well, what causes this differentiation and this multiplication? Increasing levels of glutathione. What does that have to do with turmeric? Turmeric dramatically increases glutathione levels in the body, up to 180%. Just by daily supplementation. Remarkable glutathione regenerating medicinal spice. So perhaps all the benefits of turmeric can be explained by its ability to dramatically increase this powerful antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer healing chemical called glutathione. So, in summary, most food spices, if you look at it, have a long history of use in medicine healing. In my opinion, of all these medicinal spices, the star of this group is turmeric. We encourage frequent sprinkling of turmeric on meat, poultry, and soups. And chronically ill patients, we treat with stem cells, patients with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS, spinal cord injuries, heart failure, etc., to help the stem cells work better to differentiate and multiply and reduce the ongoing damage in the body. We also advocate daily supplementation with turmeric as part of the therapy. Another way of saying is we're reintroducing a 25-year-old medicine to the 21st century to help stem cell patients respond better to treatment. And with that, Don, back to you.
Okay, next comes another doctor who, his name is Robert McBride, and he was treated last July, and this interview is by and about him. Please bring him on, Mr. Engineer. We're back now with Dr. Robert McBride. He lives in the Midwest USA, and his heart was starting to give out on him 5 or 6 years ago when he came to Bangkok for treatment. Robert, do you remember what your heart situation was before you came to Bangkok?
I was to the point where I was restricted to my sofa. I wasn't able to even walk around the house.
My goodness. And how did you get to Bangkok in that condition?
By way of the internet.
And how about, was the plane ride, how did you survive the plane ride?
You know, you had recommended when I went to Bangkok that I fly first class. Best recommendation that can be made, if you can possibly afford it, fly first class.
Understood. Can you briefly describe your visit to Bangkok, the doctors, the facilities, and how you were treated and how you felt?
Oh, they were excellent. You know, I'm a physician, and I can only wish that my hospital personnel here in the States were at the same level as those people in Thailand as far as just common courtesy is concerned. It was great. Can't say enough about it.
We hear a lot of that on the show from Bangkok-treated people.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went back to the States, and as I recall, you became improved rather quickly. Do you recall that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it took 5 months, but 5 months I was walking around and within reason could do anything I wanted to. I mean, it was a miraculous turnaround. I couldn't believe it.
Now that lasted, your improved health lasted for several years. I don't know exactly how many.
Seven.
But 7 years. We seem to be getting a lot of that lately. Then things turned south and you came back looking for treatment. You were probably disappointed to find that Bangkok wasn't doing it anymore. So you asked which the best was, and I said, well, we have several who are very good, three in Latin America, one in Tijuana, one in the Dominican Republic, and the most experienced guy is all the way down in Argentina, which is a heck of a trip from the Midwest. But you and your family and your MD son decided that Dr. Vina in Argentina was where you wanted to go. Dr. Vina often supplies an English-speaking guide.
Oh, yeah. In fact, the interpreter was the best thing that I could have had, because the language barrier in Argentina was much greater than it was in Bangkok. Now, the people were just as gracious as they were in Bangkok, but fewer of them spoke English.
Understood. That's why Dr. Vina established the we call them interpreters, but not anymore, based on all the patients, and I don't mean 99%, based on all the patients we've sent to Dr. Vina for heart, diabetes, or lung, they all say exactly the same thing. The most charming, the most delightful, and the most helpful patient was the interpreter. So we stopped calling them interpreters now. We call them guides, and everybody, 100%, rave about them when they come back.
Yeah.
But now, the next day, you got actually to meet Dr. Vina. And tell us about how you met Dr. Vina and your impression.
Well, actually, I got to meet him the day that we got there, because I got hypoglycemic, and scared everybody. And so they took me over to the hospital to get me out of hypoglycemia. So I met him a day early.
Okay. Was he, how do you compare to those wonderful doctors in Bangkok?
Well, you know, to have a person of the credentials of Dr. Venya come to treat my hypoglycemia speaks for itself. That's incredible.
Okay.
Something like that in the United States would never happen.
Oh, understood. Thank you for that. So was your family pleased with the we're closing the, we're wrapping it up now, Doc. Was your family as pleased as you were with the facilities and the doctors down there?
Oh, they certainly were.
Okay.
They can't say enough good things.
I'm going to call you back and see how you're progressing in 2 or 3 months, and maybe we'll chat again. All right with you?
Very good.
Okay. Pleasant day, and get better and keep getting better. Bye-bye. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to introduce for our last interview for this hour, Richard Stewart of Florida, who was treated in December 2005, 8 years and a couple months ago. And here's how he's doing today, 8 years later. And this is especially in the face of all those crooked doctors that say stem cells don't work, stem cells don't last, like almost all the crooks in the society. ISSCR, International Society for Stem Cell Research. It is not for stem cell research. It is not for stem cell research. It is to keep you from going for adult stem cells. Their job is to promote embryonic stem cells, and now they're promoting induced pluripotent stem cells. And as you'll recognize in your websites and in your newspapers, and you're going to see all kinds of scientific studies about induced pluripotent stem cells. That's why, because science, pharma stopped paying for embryonics now, and they're paying now for induced pluripotent stem cells as a method of keeping you away from adult stem cells. Anyway, here's Richard Stewart. Richard, take off, Mr. Engineer. That's it for me for today. And Richard will be done in another 5 minutes. Bye until next week. Let's meet now Mr. Richard Stewart from Florida. Richard Stewart is one of the few people in the world who have had 7 years after stem cells for a bad heart. And he keeps staying healthy, and his heart keeps staying healthy. And we're going to ask him some questions. Richard, first question. Tell us about your heart condition before the stem cells. And we're going back to December of 2005, if I recall correctly. Is that right?
Yes. I had a heart failure, and my heart function dropped to 10 to 15%, and the doctors said there was nothing else they could do for me, and they said that I had 3 weeks to live in writing, and that's 7 years ago.
Okay, and that is not that unusual, and he was probably right. With what he had available, he couldn't help you. So let's not criticize that doctor. Let's go right on to the next question, which is, you came to Bangkok, and can you describe personally how you felt during that procedure? You were in Bangkok for approximately, what, 2 weeks?
Yes.
And how do you feel today? How do you recall that experience?
Well, it was a very good experience. It was handled in a very professional way. The Bangkok Heart Hospital, which was rated the top hospital in the world in 2009, handled the minor surgery for the stem cell injections.
And you feel good about that procedure? They treated you well, et cetera?
It couldn't have been better.
Okay. That surgery is now obsolete. It ended officially at the end of 2009 when they went, when everybody who does it professionally uses a catheter to implant it, put the catheter in through the upper part of your thigh and run it up to the coronary arteries. Okay.
Yes.
Now, so you left here in December of 2005. When did you first notice that you had more physical ability than you had before?
Well, it was sort of a gradual experience. Within 2 months, I was very active and walking upstairs and doing all the normal things that I would normally do.
And swimming. You hadn't been able to do those things prior?
No. Correct.
Okay. All right. And at the end of the first year, were you better off than you were, let's say, after 3 months? Were you better off 12 months later or the same?
Well, I had regular checkups and echocardiograms, and my EF went up to 28 within about 2 months after the procedure. And it peaked out at a 42 to 45%. That's what it is today.
And that's about as close to normal as anybody with congestive heart failure could ask for. Considered normal for somebody over 65 is anything over 50 ejection fraction, and Richard's staying in the 40 to 45 range, which is excellent. Okay, today is 2013. 7.5 years have gone by. Of course, being that you're over 60, you have ups and downs of other things. But as far as your heart is concerned, would you say your heart is as healthy as it was a year after the treatment, or almost as healthy as it was a year after treatment, or not as healthy as it was a year after treatment?
Well, I'm basing that on tests that they've recently run, and it's holding. My EF is holding in the 40s, so it's very good.
That's wonderful, Richard. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you for your time, we'll be. Hopefully, we'll be talking to you next year.
And, okay.
And it's wonderful talking with you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you or a loved one suffers from a chronic disease, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to suffer, as the medical establishment may suggest. You definitely can have a better quality of life and prolong your years without chemicals, scalpels, radiation, anesthesia, and pills, and more pills. I'm Don Margolis, and I started the Repair Stem Cell Institute to make sure you have all the information you need about how this amazing therapy can help you. Visit our website, repairstemcells.org, and learn how stem cells can help improve your life. If you feel they are the best treatment path for you, simply fill out our no-obligation treatment request form and let us personally guide you through the process of finding the best stem cell doctors and centers in the world. At the Repair Stem Cell Institute, we are proud to say that we have already improved the lives of hundreds of patients. Contact us now and take an important first step toward improving your own life or the life of a loved one.